You are listening to BensTorah.com.
We're going to discuss one of the important mitzvahs contained in Parshas Maaseh. And this is the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, the mitzvah of settling Eretz Yisrael and living there. The source of this specific mitzvah is in Perek Lamed Gimel in Parshas Maaseh, Pasuk Nun Gimel. The pasuk I'm going to quote is the pasuk quoted by the Ramban Nachmanides in his official Sefer HaMitzvos, in which he lists the mitzvah Yishuv Eretz Yisrael as one of the official Tayag mitzvahs. The pasuk reads, "Hayrashtem es ha'aretz v'yashavtem bo," you should forcibly take over the land of Eretz Yisrael. Hayrashtem is the form of the verb. That basically is the causative, is telling you to forcefully take over the land, actually perform a mitzvah of kibush Eretz Yisrael. Yishavtem bo, not only do you have to capture Eretz Yisrael and get a hold of its real estate in all its respective borders, for yishavtem bo, then have to settle Eretz Yisrael with Jews. Ki lachem nasati aretz, because to you I've given the land, l'reshes oso, for the purpose of inheritance. And then the Torah tells us how you divide the land amongst the other shvatim of Klal Yisrael, which I'm not going to go into now. But nevertheless, this pasuk is a source of the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. I do want to mention to you a little historical fact you should be aware of, and if you're not aware of, you're going to be aware of it now. And that is the concept of the connection of Eretz Yisrael to Klal Yisrael as a national homeland is not something that was announced later on in Jewish history. But the fact of the matter is, when you go back to the famous Bris HaBesorim that I always like to draw from, one of the four promises of the Bris Bein HaBesorim in Parshas Lech Lecha is the fact that Hashem said to Avram in the Bris Bein HaBesorim that I am going to ultimately have the fourth generation return to Eretz Yisrael in the future, and basically I'm making a bris with the offspring. And what's the bris I'm making? From the Satil Zaracha, I'm going to give them Eretz Yisrael and the Sat Eretz Azos. And he starts delineating the various biblical borders, all the Canaanite nations that are living there at that point in time. And Hashem says to Avram, I want you to know this land that you're physically living in now is going to become a Jewish homeland in the future, at a specific time in the future. So the Besura Teva, that Eretz is going to become the Jewish homeland for the Jews, is part and parcel of the famous Bris Bein HaBesorim. Now, what also is interesting, historically, is that at the time of Avraham, the Jewish people did not exist as a people yet. Their concept of becoming an Am Yisrael, a Klal Yisrael, and the Am Seguli we are today, is a phenomenon that took place many years later on at Kabbalah Sa'atera at Har Sinai. It's at that time we became Klal Yisrael. We were sanctified with Kedushas Israel. We were given officially all the Torah of mitzvahs, and the schaivos of Tayag mitzvahs became halachically applicable at that point in time. Since quite obviously the mitzvah of living in Eretz Israel and conquering Eretz Israel is part of Tayag mitzvahs, according to the Ramban, the mitzvah application of this mitzvah of the chiyuv to conquer Eretz Israel and to live therein did not become halachically applicable to the Jewish people until the time of Kabbalah Satara and onward. And the historical fact is that when it comes to the Lashonos of Geula, mentioned in the beginning of Parshas Va'era, what's interesting is that the Seder, which is modeled after what's called the Dalid Lashonos of Geula, the Hotzeisi V'Hitzalti and the Ga'alti V'Lekachti, so those are the four Lashonos of redemption, showing different levels of redemption of the Jewish people from their sojourn and captivity in Mitzrayim until the ultimate exodus, an ultimate trek to coming to Har Sinai. The Lekachti is referring ultimately to Klaus of becoming Amanivchar, Lakati Samri Lavi Islahem Lohim, Vyadati Ani Hashem Elokechem, Hamotzi Eschem Itachus Tivlas Mitzrayim. Those are the four that correspond to the Dalal Shonis of Gula, which basically causes the rabbinical halacha of drinking Dalal Kaisis on the night of Pesach. However, what many people don't realize is there are actually two more Lashonis of Gula, which are mentioned right after these first three psukim, four psukim. It says, Hey Vesi Eschem El Aretz, I'm going to bring Klal Yisrael after Kabbalah's Torah to Eretz Israel. This is referring to the bris he made in the bris bein habasarim to give this to the avos and to their children. And then besides hevesi, v'nosati oso lochem morosh ani Hashem. So we now have two more lashonas of geula. The concept of hevesi, I'm bringing them to Eretz Israel, as I promised. And the Sati, I've given the land of Eretz Israel to the Jews as a Marasha Ani Hashem. The only other thing in the Torah that's called a Marasha besides Eretz Israel is the Torah itself. In fact, there's a song that we sing with our children, Torah Tzivulon Moshe, Mogosha Kilas Yaakov. The only two things in the Torah, when it comes to the mitzvahs of the Torah that are called the Marasha, is the actual Torah itself. And also the concept of our inheritance of Eretz Israel. I heard from many Gedolim, including my Rebbe or Soloveitchik Zatzal, that the chilek between the concept of Yerusha, inheritance, and Marasha, which also seems to be inheritance, but later on is interpreted to mean not only inheritance, Marasha, it's interpreted in English to be called a heritage, is the following chilek. When a person gets Yerusha inheritance, we have some specialists on the line today that are a specialist in the concept of inheritance law. My sister-in-law, who's watching the shiur from Eretz Yisrael, Tirza Jakowitz, is an expert when it comes to Yerusha laws of America and Eretz Yisrael. So she's listening to the shiur. So she will tell you a Yerusha is a Yerusha. But once the people who inherit the Yerusha, whoever had the purpose to inherit it can do whatever they want with it. And if they decide to consume the entire Yerush or spend it on something, whatever it might be, since you're the legal person to inherit the Yerusha, you can do what you want based upon the normal parameters of halacha if you are the one who's the Yerush in total control. The fact is, Eretzel was not called a Yerusha. It was called a Morasha. What is a Morasha? So my Rebbe Soloveitchik said the following, and I know many other Gedolim in different parts of Klal Yisrael's historical sea of Gedolei Chachamim said the same exact thing, and this is the following. A Merasha means not only is it something that's inherited from generation to generation, but it's more than a Yerusha. It's a Merasha, it's a heritage. It's something that when you give it to the next generation, and the generation after that, it's something you're inheriting, but something you must preserve in its entirety and transfer this Yerusha and this Marasha in its entirety to all subsequent generations. You can't take away from it. You can't add to it. This is the Heftza of the Marasha. The same way Torah, you can't add to the Torah or diminish from the Torah. There's Isa Baltesov about Tigra. This is the Torah, it's the Marasha for Klal Yisrael, for generations to come. Whatever is given, Har Sinai is given Ish mi Piyish, and is given in its totality from generation to generation till the end of time. It's a Marasha. You can't give it away. You can't basically jettison certain parts of it. Isav not adding to it, Isav not decreasing from it, diminishing from it. The same thing applies to Eretz Israel. It's an inheritance that was promised to us going back to the time of the Bris Bein HaBesarim. At a certain point in time in the future, we're going to inherit Eretz Israel. However, it's not just an inheritance, it's a Marasha. The whole essence of Eretz Israel, all the physical territories, including Eretz Israel, are part of a Yerusha / Marasha that's given for eternity to the Jewish people. It's something we inherit, we got. Something we have to pass over as a heritage Yerusha to all subsequent generations. You can add on to it to the point without doing a certain act of sanctification, but normally the gevulim are set in place. When it comes to the diminishing, you can't give parts of Eretz away to anybody, no matter what the circumstances might be. We're not the owners of this as a Yerusha to have the ability to add or to diminish from it or to give any parts away. It's a Merasha. And the same way the Merasha of Torah must be given over Bishleimus from generation to generation, the Merasha of Eretzrael must be given over in totality from generation to generation to the end of time. We don't have bailus ownership on it on each generation's personal level to literally give any part away. That's why when many, many years ago, there was the whole debate of giving away land for peace with our sonim, which was a hoax. They never wanted peace with us. They never were planning to make peace with us. They just wanted to get the land away from us and then get rid of us. So ultimately, that was found out to be the hoax. You know, that decision and discussion, whether you can give the land away or not, was literally totally destroyed. But the fact of the matter is, on a halachic level, we can't give away land for peace. We don't own the land to basically say it's no longer Jewish land. It belongs to this Goyish nation or that Goyish nation, no matter what our machshava might be. We don't have the ownership rights because it's not merely a Yerusha, it's a Marasha. And the same way Torah cannot be given away to anybody else, and we can't give that Marasha away, you can't give away Eretz Ozah Marasha. So remember that. It's a very important factor. Hashkafu Halachli is an eternal present of the entire Eretz Yisrael for the generations to come. It's true that in the future, Eretz Yisrael, based upon Hashem's vantage point and promises, will be enlarged and grow bigger and bigger. I'm not going to get into that part of the share at this point in time. Eretz will be bigger than it is today, that's for sure. But what you have to know is that this concept of the promise of us having Eretz as our Jewish homeland was promised to the others in the Bris Bein HaBesarim. When Matan Torah took place, when we became Klal Yisrael, it was confirmed that this mitzvah now is activated. And if Klal Yisrael would not have sinned in the Midbar later on, with first the Egel Hazav and then Rachman Litzon afterwards, the rebellion of the Meraglim, if those things hadn't happened, we would have surely, after Matan Torah, entered Eretz Yisrael and began our Yerush and Yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael at that specific point in time. What stalled the process, Rachmana Litzon, ultimately was the merit of the Meraglim. That stalled the process for 40 years. Ultimately, after 40 years, we did go in under the supervision of Yeshua, as was promised, as was told in the Chumash. And he was going to be the one to facilitate our Marosh, our inheritance Eretz Yisrael, the actual capture of Eretz Yisrael militarily, and ultimately the division of the land amongst all the other Shvatim. The 14 years of what's called Kibush Vechilik, of conquering the land and ultimately dividing amongst all the various Yud Bei Shvatim and different certain types of perspectives, how that was done. So this was a phenomenon dating back to a promise in the Bris Bein HaBesarim and fulfilled many years later on during the Tegufa of Yeshua and Klal Yisrael's Kibush of Eretz Yisrael. The whole Sefer of Yeshua is preserved for eternity to record the conquering of the land and ultimately the subdivision of the land. So we should have a real estate book to basically registering what exactly was which land, at which part of the land was given to this Shevet and that Shevet for perpetuity. Because it's important when it comes to many mitzvahs of the Torah, mitzvahs of Tlis Beheretz Yisrael, Shemitah V'Yovel and such, that each Shevet has to be living in their specific portion for the activation of the mitzvah of Shemitah V'Yovel to have its full D'oraisa flavor. Again, I'm not going by Arichas into this now, but the concept of Eretz Yisrael being our portion was already foretold to Avraham, Yisrael, and Yaakov and the beginning of this statement in the Bris Bein HaBesarim. From an historical record, I want you to know that even before the activation of the promise of the Bris Bein HaBesarim, Avraham was told in the beginning of his career as being a Makar Rechok and bringing people back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and trying to alleviate the Avodah Zarah that was practiced in society and bring people back to belief in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Before we had even Klausel coming to existence, the Avham and Goyim, the person who's the spiritual mentor of the generation appointed by Hashem, Avram was told to leave Iraq, Eva Hayardain, if you go into Eretz Israel, at that time it was called Eretz Canaan, because the Canaanites were living there at that point in time. The fact is, Avram's entitlement to Eretz Israel, even before the promise of the Bris Ben Abbasarim, dates back to an historical record that when Noach, after the Mabel, that he and his children came out of the Teva and were the only human beings to survive, and the world was going to be now populated by them, repopulating the world and all the generations to come, the Medrash tells us that Noach told his three sons, Shem, Ham, Yefes, I'm now going to divide the whole world that's now empty from human beings amongst you three. And this is how the division is going to go. When it comes to the Mideast, where Eretz Israel is, and that entire land, I'm giving that to Shem and his progeny in the future. When it comes to Africa and that entire continent, I'm giving that to Ham and his progeny in the future. And when it comes to European continent and such, I'm giving that part to Yefes. So he divided the world in the three most inhabited parts of the world at that point in time amongst his three sons. We as Klal Yisrael emanate from the son Shem. Shem basically was the forefather of Avram and all the rest of the Jewish people in later generations. Shem was given their entitlement to the land as his portion from Noah, going back to that specific tikkun. We should be aware of that. So therefore, Hashem told Avram when he entered Eretz Canaan for the first time, even though you see Canaanites here, which really should be in Africa, they shouldn't be in Eretz Israel, because Africa was given to them to Chum, not Eretz Israel, because they're not from Shem. He says, Avram, don't worry, at the proper time when the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz applies, the land will be returned and given officially over to you and your children as the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Israel. So don't worry about it, don't be concerned about it. Ultimately, the rights of this land will be given to you in an official statement made by HaKadosh Baruch Hu Bechvodo Be'atzmo in the context of Torah Shebikhtav and explained by Torah Shebaal Peh. Furthermore, what is interesting to note is that Avraham, in fact, had a legal document which he got from Shem as one of the inheritors, showing the entitlement of all of the progeny of Shem at that point in time to the land tract of Eretz Israel. So quite obviously, one of the reasons that Rashi quotes in the beginning of Chumash, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu talked about the Avos and the historical narratives of the Avos, and especially of Avram Avinu, was to explain to the non-Jewish world later on that Eretz Israel, and had been given to the Jews, is not a phenomenon of the 1900s. It's not something that was dreamt up by the Balfour Declaration or the League of Nations or the UN vote. It's something that was already prophesied to Avraham Avinu as a Navi Hashem, going back to the time of his existence, a promise that was made to him that his progeny in the future will be the official owners and inheritors, and the Marosh Avos will be given to them. And the Sefer Bereishis documents this in the dialogues and the narratives we find in Sefer Bereishis, especially the narratives that are mentioned to Avram Avinu. The Eretz or Matonet declares is mentioned again to Yitzchak. It's mentioned later on to Yaakov. So the concept of the Marosha being given over ultimately to declares in the future was verified and mentioned over and over again. Our ability to say to the non-Jewish world, we're not robbers of taking the land from anybody. It was given to us initially by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it's recorded in the Torah. It is recorded in the Torah in Sefer Bereishis, and that's one of the reasons, according to Chazal, that Ribono Shel Olam had Sefer Bereishis written and the narratives recorded for us to know. And the Chasam Sefer says, a very sharp word, the Chasam Sefer says, you mean to say that we're going to tell the Goyish world, God said in the Torah that he's giving the land to us, and the non-Jewish world are all going to say, oh, we made a mistake, take it, because in Tahit, the Chasam Sefer says, you can say to them from today to tomorrow, the land belongs to you, but if they don't believe in God and don't believe in the Torah, and claim that the Quran is in blue of the Torah, and the Torah no longer is relevant, you're not going to convince them from the narratives of the Torah. So says the Chasam Sefer, the reason Chazal mentioned that and Rashi quotes it in the Chumash is to convince us as Jews, you are entitled to Eretz Israel. It's a promise from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and if it's yours and it's your property and it's your Marosha, You should be willing to fight for it, hold on to it, and keep a hold of it, and make milchamas to protect it. It's really to urge us as Jews realize that we're not listed, we're not robbers, we didn't take it from anybody. And the reason I'm saying this to you, as I remember many, many years ago when I was a young Rav, and I still had keiches to go with the OU on various types of missions to Eretz Yisrael, to lobby in the Knesset, and to fight with the left-wing government, who, if they had their choice, they would have given away Eretz Yisrael to the Goyim a long time ago and taken some Uganda, some other place in the world to establish a Jewish homeland. I still remember at that time when we used to go to Eretz Yisrael and used to lobby and lobby to try to take away the Gezeiros Kashos against those who were tremendous Oyvei Eretz Yisrael, religious Zionists and others. I still remember one of the anti-Zionist members of the government at that time, who was tremendous, tremendous anti-Zionistic. He said that his Zayda was one of the people who came into Eretz Yisrael in the beginning of the Tekufa, when it came to the declaration of the state of Ben Gurion. So he said publicly at a meeting, a Knesset meeting, "I'm embarrassed with my Zayda did. He took the land away from the Arab world and gave it to the Jews. He kept on supporting the Arab statement that it belongs to them and we are the Rabban Baris." This is Rachmana Litzlan, the type of Jew that could obviously could only be shut up if you show him what the Torah says, but if he doesn't believe in Torah, you can't really convince him otherwise. But this was the attitude of the left-wingers, that we were really not entitled, we took it away from the Arab world, and the Arabs loved having Jews like that, and the Jewish government at that point in time that articulated this. We have to, as Jews, who are Ma'aminim, B'nai Ma'aminim, the Torah is Netzach Netzachim, that it is ours, it was given to us, it's our Matana, it's a Marosh, as I mentioned before, and once you know that, the concept of giving it away or trading it from another land tract in the world is totally out of any type of discussion. Realize this, understand this, and comprehend this, and therefore land for peace is a big Bubba Meinza. Even certain Rabban initially gave their Tudas Kashmis for this, changed their mind later on, they realized they made a mistake. So Eretz Yisrael is ours, given to us by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, promised in the Bris Bein HaBesarim. The whole Sefer Bereishis is to validate our concept of owning Eretz Yisrael, and that ownership and that concept of Marash exists to the end of time. That's the Marash concept mentioned in the fifth and sixth Lashon of the Dalai Lashon's Geula. We have the fifth and sixth, Hevesi Venasati, etc., etc. I found also the Chassam Sofer says that it could very well be that since they're not just four Lashonas of the Geula, but they're six, and we know the Sofer, we drink at the Seder four cups of wine to commemorate the Dalai Lashonas Geula. He says it could be when the Mashiach comes and the whole tumult of Eretzel being ours is totally ended, and the whole world will be Misvada, Meida belongs to us for eternity, and the Psukim are therefore of Hevesi Venasati will be fulfilled. It could be in future Siddharm after that time, we won't just bring four cups of wine, we might be drinking six cups of wine to commemorate the six Lashonis of Gula. For those who love to drink wine, I think they might be happy about that idea, but this is a Chassam Sefer, interesting statement made by him when it comes to this specific topic. So let's continue. So we therefore see historically when the mitzvah was pronounced, when it was officially implemented, when we got the mitzvahs that are seen in the Tayag mitzvahs, since Arashtam V'Yashavtamba is one of the Tayag mitzvahs according to the Ramban, that's when the actual mitzvah Aseh Deraisa was activated as the mitzvah upon Klal Yisrael. And later on, after all the problems that we confronted with the Chet Egel and the Maragim, 40 years later, we finally were able to implement it. And Baruch Hashem, the initial Marash of Kibush V'Chiluk was started at that specific point in time. What I want to do now is discuss two things. Number one, what was the reason Hashem wanted us to live in Eretz Yisrael? I mean, there are a lot of beautiful places around the world today where there's religious freedom and Jews can practice all the mitzvahs of the Torah they possibly can in those locations. In fact, some Jews have called these other foreign habitats. Some of them said in Jewish history, well, this land I'm living in is my Eretz Yisrael. One of the most saddest phenomena we have in Jewish history and it's recorded in the Kinois, is that when we had Jews returning to the Eretz Yisrael during the building of Bayis Sheni, as the Nehemiah basically called to the Jews around the world, those who weren't necessarily in Babylonia, but Jews outside, those had gone to Germany after Churban Bayis Rishon and settled communities there, to return with their Jewish brethren and to rebuild Eretz Yisrael and Bayis Sheni. Unfortunately, many of the communities in Rhineland said back to these Gedolim that we don't have to go there. We have our Rhineland over here. This is our Jerusalem, Yerushalayim. This is our Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, they refused to mishtatef with their Jewish brethren when it came to resettling Eretz Yisrael. One of the Gedolim who wrote the Perush on the Piyutim in Sefer Kinos points out that one of the Kinos commemorates that the reason that many of the cities of the Rhineland were destroyed during the Crusades, and many, many people never underwent the concept of Milchamas going over there and tremendous tragedy of death and destruction. Some say that was a payback for the refusal to want to come to settle Eretz Israel and to resettle Eretz Israel and to rebuild Eretz Israel, that those Rhineland cities were destroyed. That's why he claims the Kina was penned upon it. And we say it on Sefer Kinos on Tisha B'Av, Rachmana Litzlam. What's also historically interesting is that after the event of the Balfour Declaration and also the League of Nations statement they want to give the land back to the Jews, it seems that Rav Meir Simcha of Divinsk went to the German communities at that time that were in Europe and said to them, Rabbeisai, there's going to be anti-Semitic actions against the Jews taking place, and don't think it's just going to happen in other parts of Europe. It's going to start over here in the actual German area itself. And that's where Nazi Germany started to basically reach its power and started to persecute and kill Jews. He said to them, instead of staying here in Germany, come and come to Eretz Israel and rebuild your yeshiva over there. Do not think that some of the Jews that were basically in Germany at the time reacted to Rami Simcha Divinsk, the great Arsameach, and said to him, Berlin is our Yerushalayim, we're not leaving it, nothing's going to happen to us. We've been so loyal to the German communities. Basically, what happened is when Rami Simcha therefore was refused by, technically speaking, the German community even to consider to leave Europe to rebuild their community in Eretz Israel, he was very, very depressed, very disappointed, and he wrote an entire arichas upon this in his forum concerning the entire encounter and Rachmana Litzlan, that tragedy is going to befall them because of their unwillingness to want to recognize that the ability to rebuild Eretz Israel has arisen again, and therefore, if that's the case, they should take advantage of it. But this is recorded in Jewish history, but this is a reality. The reality is, when the mitzvah exists and you're able to participate, physically good. If you can't do it physically, monetarily. If you can't go there, at least make sure your children go there, grandchildren grow there. But whatever it might be, we have to show a positive attitude to making Aliyah and to supporting Eretz Israel. Chazal have a very beautiful expression. An expression in Masechtis Ksubis, based upon a pasuk contained in Kapitel Pei Zayin in Sefer Tehillim, where the pasuk says, when it comes to Eretz Israel, it says, Ish Ish Yuladbar. This man and that man is born in Yerushalayim. The Gemara's expression in Masechtis Ksubis is, Echad Hadabar, Vechna Metzapala Rosa. One and the same is the person who physically was born and lives in Eretz Israel. One and the same is a person who might not have been born there, but one day aspires in the future to come, to be in Eretz Israel, to be participant, that both are considered halacha lemaaseh, according to the Gedolim who dash in this pasuk based upon the Gemara and Ksubis, they're both considered halachically citizens of Eretz Israel, even though you haven't made aliyah yet. And they bring proof to this, but I'm not going to go into that proof now. But Benkach u Benkach, you therefore see that the bare minimal of our achrayus when it comes to the mitzvah yishuv Eretz Israel is surely not to reject it. If you're rejecting Eretz Israel, Chazal point out what you're violating is what the Meraglim did. Vayimasum Eretz Chemda, you're showing a lack of respect and desire and uneasiness to want to recognize Eretz Yisrael as the ultimate Jewish homeland. It's called Miyas Haaretz. This is defined in the Chumash as well as in Sefer Tehillim as the major chet of the Meraglim. Vayim Asu Beres Chemda, they despise the Emda Chemda of Eretz Yisrael. So therefore, Chazal tell us, the bare minimal for a Jew is whether if you can't live there now, and you weren't born there, and you can't live there now, you can't make aliyah now, you have to be a Metzapa Larosa to show a desire in Cheshek to get there in the future at some point in time, and to show your support for Eretz Yisrael in an active way. One of the Gedolim, Gedoli Achronim, wrote in his Sefer concerning our attitude to Eretz Yisrael. I want to quote what the Sefer Charedim says. It's a very interesting and fascinating statement. What the Sefer Charedim says is the following. I'm going to quote you the Sefer Charedim. He says the following. He says, in the midst of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, Tzorech Kol Ish Yisrael, that all members of Klal Yisrael, the Chabev Eretz Yisrael, have to show a chiba, a love for Eretz Yisrael. So we now have another Ava. We know there's Avas Hashem, there's Avas HaTeira, there's Avas Yisrael, but now we have, there's a mitzvah, say, of the mitzvah of Avas Eretz Yisrael, the Chabev Eretz Yisrael. Ulevol Alem, Avse Ores, Pechuk Gedol, and try to visit there at least from all the ends of the earth to show a desire to want to recognize and encourage and help build the Torah Yishuv over there. Gam Kerov and Rechokim, whether you're far away from Eretz Yisrael or close to the borders, Ashechutzalah, Royal Lehem, the bare minimal Jew has to have. Shiyu Nichsafim Uta'evim Eleha. You should have a desire, a cheshek, a love, an attachment to Eretz Yisrael, no matter where you live in the world, to show that Eretz Yisrael is the ultimate Jewish homeland for Klal Yisrael. It's an attitude, it's a concept, it's the opposite of Miyas Haaretz. It's Avas Haaretz rather than Miyas Haaretz. It's a kapara for the concept of the chet of the Meraglim. And that's Echad Adov, Echad Metzapa L'Rosa. Metzapa means kisuf and a taiva to want to be in Eretz Yisrael. It's an attitudinal approach to it. But according to Chazal, this is a major phenomenon. It's part of the ultimate kapara that we have to basically accomplish in order for us to, basically speaking, have the ultimate gula and redemption to take place. What's interesting is that Rav Yitzhak Arama, who was one of the Gedolim who lived in Eretz Yisrael at the time of the Spanish Inquisition, writes in his Pirish on the Torah called the Akedas HaYitzchak. He writes that what is the reason that all of a sudden, after hundreds and hundreds of years of Jews living in the golden era of Spain, why did the Inquisition take place? Why were they ultimately kicked out? And the terrible torture taking place? So he says, Miyas Haaretz, the fact that Jews got so comfortable in Spain, the golden era, they had no longer a desire, a cheshek, to want to return to Eretz Yisrael, they looked upon their Amida in Spain as being for eternity. That is basically which caused the Gezerah and Shemayim against them. Bavura galino me'artzeinu, yisrachach me'almaseinu, ha'yinu chepa l'shchaineinu, we become an embarrassment to the world when it comes to what's happened to the Jews. Ein shemavo lavo el shlemaseinu, the only way we can reach our shlemus of Klal Yisrael, the shuvaleh, is to show our desire to return to it, to rebuild it, and bring it into total physical, spiritual existence on its maximal level. So every Jew has to have at least the desire to support and help Eretz Yisrael grow, monetarily and otherwise, if you're able to live there, matayv noyim, even noch besser. But the fact of the matter is, our attitude has to be at least a mitzapa larosa, if you can't be at least a darbar. That's a crucial factor in our mitzvah of the love for Eretz Yisrael. Now, with all of this in place, let's now get back to a practical phenomenon. And that is, what is the purpose? What is the tachlis of why Hashem wanted us to live in Eretz Yisrael rather than someplace else? So the answer, the two reasons. Answer number one is a pragmatic one, that all tayyak mitzvahs cannot be performed in Chutz Laretz. There are many mitzvahs that are dependent upon living in Eretz Yisrael. These are called mitzvahs hatluyos be'Eretz Yisrael. All the agricultural mitzvahs of Shmita, Veyovel, and Tchumis, and Maisreis, and Maisesheni, all of these halachas have to be done in the actual physical land tract of Eretz Israel. So if a person wants to make Tayag mitzvahs, those mitzvahs cannot be done if you're living in Brooklyn, or if you're living in the Five Towns, or you're living in Muncie, or you're living in Lakewood. You can't make mitzvahs on Tlius Eretz Israel, no matter how much you're involved in Tayag mitzvahs. Number two, the mitzvahs are bringing karbanos, Semeach Hashem. You can't bring a carbon outside Eretz, so I can't even bring a carbon outside Yerushalayim Yer HaKadosh without, you have to bring a carbon in Yerushalayim Yer HaKadosh in the Makam HaMikdash that was sanctified as the Makam HaMikdash going back to the time of Shlomo HaMelech. So if that's the case functionally, the many, many mitzvahs that require the actual living in Eretz Israel and carbonos living and bringing carbonos in Yerushalayim Yer HaKadosh to Mekayim those Tayag mitzvahs, so it's a pragmatic phenomenon. In fact, Chazal say one of the reasons Moshe prayed in Pashas Ve'eschanan so many tefillahs to enter Eretz Yisrael before he died, is the Gemara says in Sota, he says, Rabbanu Shalom, there's so many mitzvahs I gave to Klal Yisrael, the Harsin, I gave him all Tayag mitzvahs. At least before I pass away, we'll have like the tzchus to Mekayim many of the mitzvahs at least for Eretz Yisrael, which we haven't been Mekayim yet because we haven't entered Eretz Yisrael. Before I pass, I want at least the ability to say I was Mekayim as much of the time as I could, Mr. Tlus Baharetz, before I got to Elam HaEmes. So that was one of the reasons, according to Chazal, for the Mitzvah of Eretz Yisrael, to give us the ability to Mekayim all the mitzvahs contained in the Torah. The second reason for the living in Eretz Yisrael is articulated by Chazal and accentuated by one of the Gedela HaRishayim that spent a lot of time on this topic, and that is none other than the Ramban Nachmanides. The Ramban, who was one of the Gadol Hadar at that time, in his period in Spain, ultimately when he left Spain, the place that he wanted to fulfill the Mitzvah of Eretz Yisrael, he went on a very dangerous trip, or went to Eretz Yisrael for the rest of his life, helped rebuild Yerushalayim. He still have his Beis HaKnesses in place to this very day, and his parish on Chumash, and the fine-tuning of that parish, he says, was finalized when he came to Eretz Yisrael. He was able to see the physical locations described in the Chumash. You find the Chumash to represent his new understanding, comprehension of the Psukim, and that's where he finalized his famous parish on the Chumash. So the Ramban writes in Pashas Achrimos, another major reason for wanting to live in Eretz Yisrael as Jews is because the only place on the face of this earth where Hashem deals directly with the individuals living in the ground below, there's direct hashgacha pratis between Hashem and Shemayim, and the people living on the ground and the earth. The only place that's subject to that unique hashgacha pratis is in Eretz Israel. It's basically mentioned and alluded to in a pasuk in Pashas Ekev, Ein Elashon Lekechaba, Mei Resha, Achzashon, Hashem's eyes and heart are geared with special hashgacha pratis to what's going on in Eretz Israel. There Hashem has direct connection with the people below. If you have direct connection and no malachim or any other entities in between you and the people below, your tefillos go directly to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, your kerevus and your connection to Hashem by doing Torah v'mitzvahs is accomplished in a much more powerful way than if you do the mitzvahs outside Eretz Yisrael. So for the sake of our shleimus of Klal Yisrael, reaching our highest level of Avedas Hashem and Devekas Hashem and connection to Hashem and ability to raise ourselves to the highest spiritual plateau, the only place to accomplish this, the Ramban says, is in the environment of Eretz Yisrael based upon the Gzeres HaKosev in Pashas Eikav, Ein Hashem Elokecha Ba. And furthermore, the Ramban says in one of the Mashalim he quotes in his Ksavim, if I have to give a comparison between Eretz Yisrael and Chutz Laretz, Eretz Yisrael is looked upon as the palace of the King of Hashem. Chutz Laretz is looked upon as the big courtyard outside the palace. Who is closer to Hashem? The person serving Hashem from the courtyard, or the person serving Hashem from the palace itself? If that's the case, you have to realize, since Eretz Yisrael is the Paltur and Shomelech, when you go to Eretz Yisrael, you have to realize not only is it a privilege to be there, not only is it a tremendous, tremendous chutz, but it's also a tremendous achrayis. Because when you do mitzvahs in Eretz Yisrael, they have greater power than when you do the mitzvahs in Chutz Laretz. Both the mitzvahs Aseh and Los Aseh have greater power performed in the environment of Eretz Yisrael. Therefore, you have to realize that achrayis of being zar v'tayar mitzvah in Eretz Yisrael is a mechayiv upon people living there, that you have to be medaktik and tayar v'mitzvahs on a higher level there because of the intensity of what that mitzvah means
Kalapi Shemaya, then he did the same mitzvah in Chutz Laretz. So therefore realize that the Shleimus of a person in Avedas Hashem ultimately is maximized. And ultimately reaches his highest level, his pinnacle, when you're doing the mitzvah in the actual physical environment of Eretz Yisrael itself. Of course, Avir Eretz Yisrael Machshim, the land of Eretz Yisrael, makes you smarter, more spiritual, more basically attuned to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We see that in our actual eyes, people going there to learn, to study, the boys and girls who go there for a year or two to learn, in the seminaries and yeshivas, when they come back to Chutz Laretz, if they come back, you see the fine-tuning of their spirituality on levels they were not able to achieve when they were Chutz Laretz. So you see, Eretz Yisrael is a unique place when it comes to spiritual sensitivities. I want to mention over here, when it comes to the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, the Ramban spends a lot of time in his Ksavim telling us 6 points concerning the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, which I want to point out now, which are called the Pratim, the various specifics relating to this mitzvah. I'm going to quote them very quickly and explain to you what the Ramban means, etc., etc. First, he points out the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael applies not only to Klal Yisrael as a nation, it applies even to a Yochid. And therefore, if that's the case, even if you only come to Eretz as a Yochid, you're not coming as a family or as an entire nation, the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael applies. And the Ramban fulfilled this in his lifetime when in the 1270s and such, he made his aliyah to Eretz Yisrael and settled there for the rest of his life. He did this b'teiros yichidus, not b'teiros a national movement at that point in time. And once again, the Ramban says the reason for this concept is since Eretz Yisrael is a way of personal shleimus, as I just mentioned a couple of minutes ago, sahashkach Hashem that's there, coming even as a yachid to be under Hashem's unique hashkacha, it can only be obtained over there, even a b'teiros yachid, it applies. And no such thing as galus taking away the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. And Yishuv Eretz Yisrael applies even if we're in a state of galus at large. The mitzvah is never batal. It's an eternal mitzvah. That's why it's included in Taryak mitzvahs. The second point the Rambam makes is it's also for us to make a malchus for the Jewish people as an official Jewish homeland outside Eretz Yisrael. He says this is what the Maragon wanted to do. Hashem says, no, the only Jewish homeland that you have is in Eretz Yisrael. You might live in Chutz Laretz, but it's not a Jewish homeland. The only place the Jewish homeland is in Eretz Yisrael. That's where the Gai Kadosh and all of our sanctification mentions in the Torah can be fulfilled in its maximal. So you can't think about living in Chutz Laretz as my alternate Eretz Yisrael, as Rachman Lutzon, the German communities did during the beginning of Bayis Sheni later on, right before the Holocaust took place. Number three, the Ramban says there's the Isa Mias Ares, he can show rejection and a lack of appreciation and Hakar Satoy for Hashem for giving us Eretz Yisrael. He can't show any dislike for it. We have to realize it's Paltu and Shamelach. So to have a negative attitude towards Eretz Yisrael is a bittel of the mitzvah asay of Yeshaftim, Varashtim, Sov Yeshaftim. The fourth concept, he says, you can't forsake any parts of Eretz Yisrael to the Umas Olam. Eretz Yisrael is inseparable. It's a Merasha. You have to hold on to the entire thing. You can't give away any parts of Eretz Yisrael to the Gaisha world. A guy who's a Ger Toshav, who observes their Zionists and Noach in a meticulous fashion, their pious non-Jews who believe in Hashem and observe all the Zion mitzvahs, they have a right as a Ger Toshav to have residency rights in Eretz Yisrael, to live next to us, to participate in our society, since they're monotheists and they don't worship Avodah Zarah, that could be a negative influence. But nevertheless, they can live there, but they can't own real estate there as equal owners with us in the land, because the land was given to us. It's us, our Marasha, it's nobody else's Marasha. Of course, they can convert to Judaism and become a Jew. They become a Ger Tzedek, not just a Ger Toshav. And at that time, they're entitled as a Ger Tzedek, converting to become a Jew, to have entitlement to owning land in Eretz Yisrael as well. The fifth concept, the Ramban mentions, the Issa to leave the land in any state of Shmama, since Eretz Yisrael is supposed to be a land, Eretz Avas Chalav U'Davash. as unique hashlacha pratis of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're supposed to develop all the land tracts in Eretz Yisrael. If you can't develop places for people to live in Eretz Yisrael, these open tracts of land, you're supposed to agriculturally develop them and use them for constructive purposes. The land should not be in a state of shmama, of desolation. Every piece of land should be used for a constructive purpose, if not for yishuv, for the purposes of agricultural production or other types of activities that are productive in nature. But the land can't be left in a state of shmama. It has to be done to make it live and flourish. That's why when the JNF has these movements to plant trees on lands that are not being productive, the Mekayim, this part of the mitzvah, according to the Ramban, that the land is not shmama, but is producing agriculture instead. Finally, the sixth point the Ramban points out is the mitzvah in the Torah to make a melchemes mitzvah, not only to capture Eretz Yisrael, as we did, but to hold on to it, to defend it for all the generations to come, the act of mesiras nefesh, to risk your life, to fight wars for the sake of our physical protection of the Jewish people living there, and our right to hold on with integrity to all the borders of Eretz Yisrael, to make a melchemes mitzvah to protect ourselves, and to hold on to the land. This is part of the mitzvah d'oraisa of melchemes mitzvah, whether it's offensive or defensive. To our generations, all the wars have primarily been defensive wars to protect ourselves from being destroyed by the Arab world. These are all melchemes mitzvahs. It's part of the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. We're supposed to risk ourselves, our lives, for the sake of pekuach nefesh, and also for the sake of love of the land. As part of our mitzvah of loving Hashem and loving the land because Hashem gave it to us, this is part and parcel of the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael that applies to this very day, even before the physical Mashiach Tzidkenu has come to redeem us. I do want to mention to you an important historical fact, and we'll end with this point right now, that there are certain Jews in this world that are against us having returned to Eretz Yisrael, and they unfortunately make themselves known by parading in the streets, advocating that the Jews are illegally living in Eretz Yisrael now. They join Rachmana Litzlan with the Hamas protesters wearing their begodim to show who they are and their religious affiliation, protesting the fact Eretz Yisrael has been settled by Klal Yisrael now. Unfortunately, they do this. It's a tremendous chil Hashem without a question, but that's what Neturei Karta does. And the reason they claim they're doing what they're doing is they quote a Gemara in Ksubis that I want to give you the answer so you'll be able to sleep on this at night. Their taina is how in the world can we capture the land before the Mashiach actually comes? The Gemara tells us in Ksubis that supposedly at the time of Churban Bayis Rishon, there were three oaths that Hashem made with Klal Yisrael and Umas Olam before Churban Bayis Rishon concerning what's going to happen when Jews go into Golos. The three shvuos are, is that when Jews are thrown into Golos because of our sins and such, we can't be meirig, we can't rebel against the Umas Olam when we're living in Golos. We have to live in peace with them. Number two is we can't make a Jewish army outside and take back Eretz by force. Until the Mashiach comes and gives it to us without having to have a Muhammad to capture Eretz Yisrael. So it says we shall Yalu Bechayim, we shouldn't capture Eretz Yisrael with a military campaign from Jews capturing it from Chutz L'Eretz to Eretz Yisrael. But there's a third shvuah as well, that the Goyim were told that the Jews are going to be put into Golis and live by you. They shouldn't torture us. They shouldn't commit genocide on us. They shouldn't try to kill us and destroy us when we're living in their anti-Semitic countries. So the Goyim, the Goyim quite obviously are happy to know there are such Shuas like this, and the Neturei Karta supports these Shuas. How can Jews return? How can the Zionist movement, even the religious Zionist movement, encourage people to make an Aliyah? So I want to quote you four Gedolim on this topic, and we'll end the shiur today. Rameya Simcha, once again, who is a very pro-Aliyah, said to Klal Yisrael and his Meshech Chachma and other places that I want you to know that our return to Eretz Yisrael was not a violation of any of these oaths. First of all, the Balfour Declaration, which the English government promulgated, said they wanted a Jewish land to be created for the Jewish people. Then we had later on the League of Nations confirming it and saying they want to implement this. And since those were the organizations, especially the Jewish, concept of the League of Nations, representing the Umas Olam of the world, if they're giving back Eretz to us as a Jewish home and say we're entitled to it, it's not a violation of our Shavuos. We're not rebelling against the nations of the world. They're giving it back to us. We're not making a war to return. We want to return in peace. The only war we fought are wars of self-defense against Goyim who wanted to kill us because we did return after it was given back to us. So if that's the case, it's not a violation of those. There's nothing to talk about. And it's Bubba Mainz's for anybody to say that. He was one of the great Litvish Gedolim who articulated this very explicitly. Rav Avnei Nezer of Bornstein, who's the head of the great, great Hasidic group. Avnei Nezer is the name of his sefer, one of the great Hasidic Gedolei Lamdanim of all time. He writes and tells his Hasidim that since he sees the lands being given back to us, we should go and buy land in Eretz Yisrael, to return to Eretz Yisrael, to rebuild the land. Once again, he claims the oaths never existed in the world of halacha. The Gemara might quote the Maimer, but a Maimer in the Gemara doesn't become halacha unless it's brought down by the Gedolei HaPoskim. And he points out, if you look at the Gedolei HaPoskim, whether it's the Rambam, the Rif, the Rosh, none of them bring down halacha lamasa, those three oaths as being operative halacha lamasa. If that's the case, these oaths never took place in the world of halacha below. Might have happened in Shemayim, but below by Shemayim, and therefore, they don't apply to us, they don't hinder us, and therefore, since we have an avenue to return to Eretz Israel, we should take advantage of it and return to Eretz Israel. So that was the great Avnei Nezer. You then have, as the third gold I want to mention, and that is the Chafetz Chaim. When the Chafetz Chaim saw what was going on between World War and World II, because of the Balfour Declaration, because of the League of Nations, and he saw Jews were returning to Eretz Israel, and a lot of Jews from Russia were picking themselves and wanted to make Aliyah at that point in time, the Chafetz Chaim says, we now see that we're returning to Eretz Israel. The Umas Olam are giving us the permission to do such. If that's the case, the Chafetz Chaim says, this is not a rebellion against the Umas Olam. We're not taking it back by force. On the contrary, if you're able to buy land and purchase Eretz Yisrael and go to Eretz Yisrael, you should do such. If he had the ability to do such, he would have done such himself. This is written by one of the biographers. He's written by the Chafetz Chaim's son. He called the Tekufa, the return of the time, Iksa the Mashiach, the period of the Mashiach coming, the beginning of the redemptive process. And this was the Hashkafa of the Chafetz Chaim at that point in time, recording his Sfarim. That's why the Iksa Mashiach was coined based upon a Mishnah on the period of return in that early period of 1900s itself. You then have, besides these three Gedolim, you have the famous Gadol, the Ostrovtsev Rebbe, one of the great tzaddikim of Europe, fasted so many, many years to try to prevent the Shoah from taking place. And when it came to his attitude towards the return that was taking place by the Jews in his period of Europe, he basically said to those who were anti the Zionistic movement, he says, who are you to tell HaKadosh Baruch Hu how the Jews should return and when they should return to Eretz Israel? Hashem could obviously was able to turn the hearts and minds of the Gaisha world to give us a Rishus and a Heter to return to Eretz Israel. So if that's the case, we got to take advantage of it. In fact, he says that there is a prophecy mentioned in the Medrash that he sees happening today, in which it says that the reason Malchus Edom was called a chazir, a pig, was because the Medrash said, "Osed lahachzir hakesa labala." One day it's going to return the crown to its owner. What is it referring to? So it says over here, the Ostrovtsev Rebbe, the following pshat of the Medrash. Who was Malchus Edom? It became ultimately the Christian Empire. And the Christian Empire, according to this Medrash, are one day going to right a wrong and return Eretz Yisrael back to its original owners, to the Jewish people. It's going to take away Eretz Yisrael from the robber barons, from the Arab world who wanted to rob it from us, and return it to us. Machzer HaKesa to its bialim, to the Jewish people. We see that happening now with the Balfour Declaration and also the League of Nations. If, on the contrary, since this is Hashem's Ratzon and his desire, we have to participate and do what we have to do to bring Jews back to Eretz Yisrael. Who's leading the Jews? Is he relevant at this point in time? It's the Machshava Kadosh Baruch Hu that's causing the change in world history, what's taking place. So he was also a major supporter of the movement to return to rebuild Eretz Israel in Europe before actually World War II ever took place. After World War II, the ultimate vote of the UN, which is miraculous in its respect, because the UN voted at that time something that they would never vote again in world history, as we see today. It's also the first time in world history, in UN history, that the United States and Russia voted on the same side to return the land of Eretz to the Jewish people. So we're living in a very historical period of time. In one of the Svarim written by the Agudas Yisrael movement, recorded in their historical Svarim, that after the Jews were challenged when they declared Eretz Yisrael as their Medina, and we were threatened by the Arab world and they wanted to kill us, they fought a war against us, which they lost 2 years later on. They said this miracle of return of the Jews to Eretz Yisrael at this period of time, post-World War II, is Me'es Hashem Ho'yisazos in Philos Be'ineinu. We have to go there. We have to participate. We have to try to make sure Eretz is not only a Jewish homeland when it comes to nationality, but it's a Jewish homeland when it comes to Torah and Mitzvahs. And the more Torah and Mitzvahs, the better we're going to have a kesher to the land, a hold on the land, a permanent strategic Yerusha in Eretz Yisrael, a Marosha in Eretz Yisrael. And that's what we're talking about today. I do want to mention to you that there is a machlokes, which I don't have time to be marachon, between Rav Moshe Feinstein and Avadi Yosef, whether the mitzvah of Yishev Eretz Yisrael is a mitzvah chiyuvi, is it an obligatory mitzvah, or is it a rishus, an optional mitzvah that you can do or you don't have to do. It's a machlokes between them. Avadi Yosef held it's a mitzvah chiyuvi, you got to do it. According to Rav Moshe Feinstein, it's more of an option. If you want to do it, good. If you don't want to do it, you can't be forced to do it. So this is a very famous machlokes, which requires mekaros and an entire shir to develop all the source material for both of these gedolei hadar. But many gedolim who could obviously did not make aliyah and were in galus and trying to enhance the quality of Judaism and Torah v'mitzvos for the Jews living in galus, many of them relied upon the mahalach of Rav Moshe as optional rather than obligatory to justify the sojourn in Chutz Lares teaching Torah, being Marbitz Torah and building the essence of the Jewish people. But one thing is for sure, wherever you live, whether in Eretz Yisrael or Chutz Lares, Metzapaba, that you have to have a tzipu, you have to have a davar, a desire, a kesher, mentally, psychologically, monetarily, to support Eretz Yisrael. And one day, hope Meir Hashem to be able to make an aliyah and live there, ultimately speaking. After all, Kibbutz Galus is going to be one of the facets of return to Eretz Yisrael at the end of time. So ultimately speaking, we're all going to be there at some point in time in Meir Hashem. So let's hope and pray we should be zochet to see the finality of this process of the ultimate Gula taking place. The Ikva Mashiach should come to the ultimate Mashiach coming, the return of Klal Yisrael, the elimination of warfare and hatred against the Jewish people, and the Milchemes Gog Magog to be ended, and the return of the Jews to Eretz Yisrael with Binyan Beis Hamikdash, with all the brachas mentioned in the Torah to be fulfilled in us. Reheinu Amen V'Amen. Have a wonderful day, Talmidim V'Talmidos. Think about what I taught you today and realize the historical period we're in, a period of time that our bubbas and alter bubbas and alter bubbas and zaydas wish they would see. We're witnessing it now with our eyes, and if we take advantage of it and be appreciative of it, and let's use it as a goal and a mechanism to advance Avodat Hashem with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to reach the ultimate kesher of kiyum between ourselves and Hashem, and the fulfillment of the brachos which are mentioned in the Torah.
You have been listening to a presentation of BensTorah.com.